This is CliffCentral.com.
Yes, the lovely Kelly Rowland, less successful than her sister Beyonce, but still a success by any other estimation. I mean, if Kelly wasn't in Destiny's Child with Beyonce, she would have been a brilliant artist on her own, right? We always compare her to Beyonce, and she's like, eh, she's kind of not as good. I think it's unfair.
I realized over the weekend when I heard a new Beyonce song, newish.
You don't like her. Yeah, I don't like her. I'm the first to admit that. I'm not a big fan.
I think
fan.
I've only ever liked one song.
Yeah. Which one?
I don't remember. It was maybe 15 years ago that I liked something.
I think she's cool. She's a dominant female. She sticks to her mind.
Yeah, music.
And her voice. It's a bit, I'm sorry. I'm probably going to be murdered when I leave this place.
No, if Sia was here, he'd take a very serious
Why
issue.
Do you think I'm only saying it now?
Oh, right. You've been holding out.
Yes.
You've been waiting for a day where Sia wasn't in.
Yeah.
Okay, I got you. All right. No problem. All right. So there's lots going on in the news. We're going to check in on some of that in a moment.
Mm-hmm.
You can get hold of us on 0797482090. And at about 7:30, we're going to check in with Nkosinathi Moshoana, who's the general manager at Prime Stars. And we'll talk a little bit about Educate, which is a very, very interesting and a very necessary contribution to South African education.
Edumacation.
Because we have a very poor maths and science pass rate in South Africa. Those people who even take maths and science as a subject, very, very small proportion of the general population. And these guys are trying to get their cinemas and they get people in there on a Sunday to go and study maths and science. They've got videos that they show them that help them with their general maths and science literacy, and it's very, very good stuff. I think it's one of those projects which deserves a lot of support, so I certainly hope they get it, and we'll tell you more about it so you can decide whether you want to support them or not in a short while. What's going on in the news, Ass? What do we need to know?
Well, you know there have been a couple of shootings in the U.S.,
yes.
Mass shootings again, two back-to-back, and Rihanna has stepped in on Twitter.
Oh, thank God, because all we were waiting for was her.
No,
I was
she
so
climbed.
Worried.
She climbed into Trump because his tweet seemed quite well to her. Seemed quite watered down. So she has slammed his response to mass shootings, saying, "Donald, you spelt terrorism wrong." So he tweeted, "Today's shooting in El Paso, Texas, was not only tragic; it was an act of cowardice. I know that I stand with everyone in this country to condemn today's hateful act. There are no reasons or excuses that will ever justify killing innocent people." Rihanna goes, "Donald, you spelled terrorism wrong. Your country had two terrorist attacks back to back, hours apart, leaving almost 30 innocent people dead. This just days after yet another terrorist attack in California, where a terrorist was able to legally purchase an assault rifle, AK-47, in Vegas, drive hours to a food festival in Cali, leaving six more people dead, including a young infant baby boy. Imagine a world where it's easier to get an AK-47 than a visa. Imagine a world where they build a wall to keep terrorists in America."
So wow.
She was
Rihanna stepping in.
Yeah. She was backed up by Cardi B, of course. Who,
oh, well, that's another important commentator I couldn't wait to hear from. Yes, what did Cardi B say?
She replied to one of Donald's tweets where he was giving an update and said, "We have enough information already. Both of the shooters are white supremacist terrorists with intentions to kill minorities." Minority spelt with an apostrophe S.
You know, I think that this is horrible. You know, whenever there's a shooting and it turns out that it's some like leftist maniac, then all the right wingers go crazy. They're like, "Yeah, I told you it's the left wing." When it's a white supremacist, all the left wingers go, "Oh, I told you it's the white supremacist terrorists." Can we all just stop it? There are people who've actually lost their lives here. If you use this for political gain, you are a shithead. You're a horrible person. If you actually think that you can use this to make your political point of view, I think it's awful. And what do you want the president? He's the president. He didn't go out there with his own gun and shoot someone. He says, terrible thing, act of evil. That's what he called it, right? So you want him to change
it? An act of cowardice.
You want him to change it to terrorism? Then change it to terrorism, Donald. It's not going to make a goddamn difference. When are people going to understand that there are crackpots among us? There are dangerous, wacky, insane, and crazy people in this world. And they're not going anywhere. They're here to stay. I'm sorry. What are you going to do?
Yeah, it is life.
It's horrible, and I feel so bad for these people who've lost their lives. I mean, I can imagine absolutely nothing worse. You wake up in the morning, you're with your family, you know, you're trying to get on with your day, you go off to work or to school or to
a market
or wherever you might be, and then some lunatic.
What is the solution, though? Because, like, these are like needles in haystacks. These guys are coming out of nowhere and doing these mass killings. You can't, like, spot them or...
No, and this is the problem, right? I mean, you can call them terrorists or whatever else, but they are clearly disturbed people. Mm. These are not the sane people. And they come out there and they seem to me to be looking for a target. And they're going to find a target. And if they don't have guns, they'll use knives. And if they don't have knives, they'll use bombs. And if they don't have bombs... they'll use a pitchfork. I mean, there are some crazy people out there.
Yeah.
You know, when we find a rapist, we don't go, well, the girl was dressing provocatively, or she was walking in a dangerous neighborhood, or it's definitely because she was hitting on these guys before she got raped. We would never say that. You never blame the victim. And the same thing here goes for, you know who's done the rape? It's a rapist. Mm. You know who's done a shooting? It's the shooter. Let's not be confused and try to make it about guns. And let's not turn it into politics. There are awful people in this world. And if the law enforcement can find them and catch them and lock them up, good. Makes the world a bit safer for the rest of us.
Will this guy get the death penalty, or did they do away with that, mass killings?
Don't know.
The death penalty is back.
Is it back?
But there are only five people who are on the list.
It's back, huh?
Yeah.
Five people in the whole of the US.
Yes.
It's not a lot.
Because maybe that would scare people into the consequences behind doing such, like, disgusting acts.
So these are the guys who are on the list at the moment. They were on a lifelong sentence.
Yeah.
But now the death penalty has been reinstated. And, you know, if you see what these guys have done, you realize how sick and twisted they are. So there's Lesmond Mitchell.
Lesmond. Oh my God, what a name. Lesmond.
He stabbed a 63-year-old grandmother to death and then forced her 9-year-old granddaughter to sit next to her body during a 30-to-40-mile drive.
Sick, disgusting human being.
He then slit the girl's throat twice and she also died. Oh. He'll be executed on the 11th of December.
Good.
Then there's Wesley Ira Perkey. Perkey was found guilty in 2003 for violent rape and killing a 16-year-old girl.
He has a cute name, Perkey.
Perkey, yeah.
Hey guys, I'm Perkey.
He dismembered this girl and then burnt her body.
Oh, sick fuck.
Yeah. Alfred Bourgeois.
Very bourgeois.
Also multiple offenses.
What's up with these names, by the way? Huh?
Dustin Lee Honkin.
You've got to be kidding me. That's his name?
That's his name. He'll be executed in January 2020. He was found guilty of murdering five people in Iowa, including a single mother and her two children aged 10 and 6.
Aye, aye, aye.
So those are the only five that are on at the moment.
Jesus.
But the streets of Brazil will be safer than they might have been if this Brazilian gang leader got away.
Who's this?
A Brazilian gang leader dressed up. He was in jail, right? Yeah. His daughter came to visit, his 16-year-old daughter.
Yes.
And he tried to leave the prison dressed up as her.
Oh, my God. What did he do with her?
He left her in there.
He was going to swap.
It was part of the plan.
And she was okay with this?
Well, all it says is that the plan was apparently to leave her in there. It doesn't say anything more than that, and I've checked multiple articles.
You know, you really love your dad if you're prepared to stay behind and he'll dress up as you and leave.
But he even had a girl's silicone mask on.
Yeah, that photo is semi-convincing.
It's horrible.
His name is Clavino da Silva, but also known as Shorty. So he's obviously a short guy.
These names are just amazing this morning. We've got a real winning formula of names, okay?
And he walked out the regular entrance, the visitor's entrance, wearing a black long-haired wig.
Yes.
This dodgy silicone mask, you know, the eyes look like they're in the wrong place.
Yeah.
These weird glasses.
Yeah, he's a horrible-looking guy.
Rolled up jeans, tight jeans with flip-flops, and a pink t-shirt with donuts on it.
Oh.
So, anyway, they're
not conspicuous at all.
Yeah. So when there is a video of him where he's leaving the security area and he's pulling off his mask and he's saying his name because they've bussed him.
It's going to be so embarrassing, though. You're all dressed up like a girl.
Oh, yeah.
And you're some big gangster and you're dressed up like a little girl. And, oh, so humiliating.
It really is.
What an awful, awful situation.
The fact that he was able to get changed with no one noticing.
It's so bizarre, right?
Yeah.
Things had gone in prison.
The guy who, on Bastille Day, used the hoverboard, he was the inventor,
yes,
to do a bit of flying that impressed, yes, everyone. He tried to fly over the English Channel and failed, but he is now...
Is he all right, though? Did
yeah, no,
die?
He's cool. He's now done it.
Oh, okay.
After a failed attempt.
Good for him.
What sort of hoverboard? Is it the one with like a jetpack?
Yeah, he's basically got this thing that he stands on, and it shoots out air at high pressure, and then it lifts you. So it's like you're on this air cushion, effectively.
Oh, is it the one where they have the jet ski in the water, and then it like shoots?
No.
Yeah, it's like that water one, but not
but
with
water.
But
with not okay. water, yeah. So his name's Frankie Zapata. And this journey was 35 kilometers that he completed over the English Channel. He did it in 22 minutes, reaching speeds of up to 177 kilometers per hour.
Jeez, that is really fast.
It is fast, huh?
So it's propelled by a power pack full of kerosene. he took off from France's Pas-de-Calais region and landed in St. Margaret's Bay beyond the White Cliffs of Dover in southeast England. He stopped only once on the British side to refuel his invention from a boat in choppy waters.
Sure.
This could be the future of transport. Imagine.
I'd love it. Oh, man, would I love this. I've wanted to have a hoverboard since...
Back to the Future. Yeah.
Since watching Back to the Future, I've always thought, God, if I could just have a hoverboard, I'll be happy.
What was that kid's name again in Back to the Future?
Marty McFly.
Yes, yes. Ah, and his granddad. I'm only mentioning that because I recently watched all three.
Oh, good.
I'm very late to the
good
game,
man.
With that.
No, but that's good. I'm proud of you that you know about this stuff, Flex, because you used to be very disinterested in any culture that you weren't already in.
And I'm like, all the old school classics are the really cool things. Like, I never watched How I Met Your Mother, and now I've like started watching it. And it's really cool story with Barney. And like, my next thing I need to watch is the Friends series. Apparently, that's really good.
Because
everyone has those like, oh, she says it in Friends.
It's pretty good.
Apparently, it did okay.
You know those guys? So the guys from Friends are still making millions of dollars a year.
Yeah.
Just from them screening
from replays,
Friends. Yeah. It's
amazing.
Imagine sitting and getting like $30 million a year for doing nothing. Just in your bank account.
I'd like that.
Oh, yeah. That'd be just so nice. I would even work as hard as they did for that many years.
They didn't work hard. Let's just remember, please, everybody calm down. Actors and actresses.
Okay, that's true.
They wake up really late. They go off to a set where they get someone else to dress them. Someone else does their makeup and their hair. Someone else probably brushes their teeth. Then they get into these outfits and they go onto the set. They have to learn a couple of lines and they pretend for a living. Don't feel sorry for them.
I think they have to learn a lot of lines, though, like booklets before they go in, because they want to shoot this as quick as possible to keep production costs low. And then you've also got to be, is it called a method actor, where you have to get in the position?
You've got to study the roles. And you've got to have talent. Mm. Not everyone can just read a script.
Please believe me,
and
it's not hard. All right, let's just stop with this immediately.
Okay, I'll believe you.
No need.
So a guy who is a very proud owner of many Ferraris posted photographs of his cars on Instagram.
They came and robbed him, right?
No, he got a letter from Ferrari's lawyers.
Uh-oh.
Oh, this is... Plain. He's a fashion designer.
Yes.
What happened?
So basically he...
Philip Plain.
Yeah, Philip Plain. Someone will probably correct me on his surname because it's French.
Really?
Well, it's spelled P-L-E-I-N, Plain.
Let me give you a quick background to who he is.
Sure.
So it's this dude who literally just started out years ago making designer dog beds. He was a poor guy. Eventually got noticed and started like improving his line, started making fashion items. Then started like a billion-dollar empire of clothing. But he's the type of dude that wants to spend his money and spend it fast.
Mm-hmm.
So he starts buying mansions, Ferraris, Lamborghinis, chilling with Alec Monopoly, the artist. Mm-hmm. And now this guy's like balling out of control. And he's got like a new girlfriend every month who's got like...
Sounds like a cool guy to be.
No, he's really cool. Apparently like 2 months ago, he just found out he had a son. So now the son's entered the picture. You can follow him on Instagram.
Yeah. Wow. So Philip Plain.
In this photo, he's created these new shoes and he's taken a photo with him, his girlfriend, Alec Monopoly, on the Ferrari. And Ferrari are saying you can't link our two products together. Delete that photo or you're going to get prosecuted.
Oh, wow.
And he owns like 4 Ferraris. He owns like 7 Lamborghinis, Rolls Royces, everything.
Sure.
So he's picking up a real fuss around this.
Yeah. So good, he actually posted the letter on Instagram, the lawyer's letter. Hmm. And he said, I can't even put in words how disappointed and disgusted I am about this unfair and totally inappropriate claim against me personally. Obviously, I love cars and especially Ferrari. I bought my first Ferrari 10 years ago, and recently I bought a Ferrari for my mother as her birthday gift. I think it's absolutely ridiculous as a good client to receive such a letter from a company like Ferrari.
Wow. I'd be pissed off too.
I feel like he's overreacting. Like, okay, cool. Ferrari chirped you. Stop buying Ferraris. You still got Lamborghinis, Rolls Royces. Buy another car.
Yeah, but you know.
But they're going to do the same thing to him if it's a thing about promoting your own brand.
Oh, I guess so.
Why can't this guy do this? Why can't he take pictures with his? He bought
so
the Ferrari.
Say,
I mean, once it's yours, it's yours. Sorry.
So Ferrari uses this exact picture of the green Ferrari with the green sneakers.
Yeah.
And says in these pictures, Ferrari's trademarks are used again for promotional purposes of your brand and products, unlawfully appropriating the goodwill attached to them. Your behavior, however, is even more harmful and serious in this case.
Wow, they've no sense of humor about this stuff, huh?
And also he uses like scantily clad models in his
who wouldn't?
Photographs with his cars, and Ferrari just don't want to be part of that.
Oh, really? Now Ferrari have got what? They've suddenly got standards. They've been making calendars and posing beautiful women next to their cars for years.
They're saying this lifestyle is totally inconsistent with Ferrari's brand perception. In connection with performers making sexual innuendos and using Ferrari's cars as props in a manner that is distasteful.
It's very serious, huh?
Yeah.
Sure.
I wonder if he's taken it down yet, because he was like very adamant that he's not taking it down.
He should go and trade in his Ferraris and buy different cars.
Yeah, that's like what
I think
that's also.
That's the way to protest this.
Well, he might just get a sponsor from someone else now.
Yeah, there'll be someone else who'll go, sure, you could use our stuff for that. We don't mind.
This is probably exactly what Ferrari wanted, people to be talking more about Ferrari.
Probably.
Like even when Trump did the ban and everyone was talking about Huawei. Huawei were like, this is great advertising for us.
All right. What else is going on?
I don't see any DC pictures, but not the one that he got in trouble for. He's just posted that with his lawyer's letter.
You think he took it down?
He may have.
Hmm.
I don't know how far back to go here, but...
It's crazy. You look at this Instagram and this dude was literally broke like 10, 15 years ago. And now he's like a billionaire.
Now he's living the dream.
Wow, there's a lot of naked chicks there.
Yeah, that's Alec Monopoly and Alec Monopoly's girlfriend.
A cool dude. I love people like that that are just... They just made a billion in their... You know, before they're old.
I have a feeling it's the word passion. This dude found out he was passionate about designing and just didn't stop until he made it.
Yeah. Good for him. What a guy.
Good for him.
Yeah. Right. Love it.
Strange incident at the...
Stranger Things.
Oh.
Tell us.
At the Tate Modern.
Yes. Good gallery, that.
In the UK. Very it's good. Just along the River Thames.
Yes.
A teenager's been arrested. Tell after... me. On suspicion of attempted murder, after a 6-year-old boy was thrown from the 10th floor of the Tate Modern.
Jeez. What?
So it was a very bizarre incident because this teenager apparently doesn't know this kid and vice versa. It's almost as if he randomly...
Hang on. The kid was thrown from the 10th floor.
So a 17-year-old male suspect threw a 6-year-old boy... from the 10th floor.
Yeah.
And he fell only 5 floors because he fell onto a roof that was overhanging the 5th floor. So he's alive. He's just badly injured. He's in a critical condition. But nobody knew this guy. The parents didn't know this guy. It was just completely out of the blue.
Jesus, what a horrible story. And can you imagine what a mess it was on the floor?
Mm.
You fall from the 10th floor. That's not messing around.
Well, like I say, it was like five floors that he fell because of the roof. But apparently this guy just seemed very calm. He wasn't fighting back when security guards nabbed him.
Yeah.
He was then arrested, put into a vehicle, and yeah, very calm, completely bizarre incident.
Maybe he's a psycho.
Could be.
It's another crazy person we didn't need.
Could be.
Tell you what, it is hard. Like, you don't know who's crazy.
Mm. That's what scares me most. Like, you could be walking in a shopping center and you don't know what's going to happen.
Could be Gugu. We're sitting here, we're all having fun, and Gugu's meanwhile plotting to kill us. We don't know. Right?
Yeah.
I mean, I'm hoping it's not him, because that would really make work an uncomfortable place.
We must have a very low, like, I don't even know the word for it, but like, because there's not a lot of mass killings.
Standard
and,
or threshold or...
Yeah, probably like threshold when it comes to psychological imbalances or something.
What, in South Africa? Yeah. We've got a lot of mental illness, dude.
But you never hear of mass killings or someone just walking in and in a shopping center.
In this country, you...
And
you,
touch wood.
You know all the violence that's happening, but especially also, in families.
People. We're quite busy trying to just survive in this country.
Well, I think they're trying to survive.
So the type of crime is more poverty related.
I mean, imagine someone throwing someone else off a roof.
Mm.
Well, it reminds me of this, of course, BuzzFeed article where a lot of people are getting together to talk about the weirdest thing they've caught their roommates doing.
Yeah. Have you ever had a roommate? I've
no.
Never had a roommate.
No, I haven't.
Flax, what's the weirdest thing you've caught your roommate doing?
I still live with my parents, so not yet.
So someone says, my boyfriend and I had fallen asleep on our couch in the living room during a movie and woke up to my crazy roommate sitting in the armchair beside us with an actual axe while watching us sleep.
My God, I would not survive that.
Yeah, and similar incidents where people wake up and their roommate is just sitting there staring at them.
Oh, more crazy people. This is all we need.
I would have to sleep with my door locked after that.
Gugu, stay where I can see you. Just stay where I want to see all the time where your hands are.
Do you know how innocent I am?
Flex, I don't know. Don't ask Flax. He's just met you.
Hey, no, we had a great chat this morning.
Yeah, be careful of him. Really? You're not a horrible, dangerous person who could be killing us while we're not looking? Hey, dude, I don't know.
So someone else says they walked in while their roommate was in the bath.
Yeah.
And she was washing her dishes in the bath with her.
Oh, my God.
Okay, that's useful, practical use of time.
Do you want to be in the bath with your dishes? Just think about that.
Really, no, really, really bad.
Rose, just thinking she's like killing two birds with one stone over here.
There's productivity and there's efficiency and then there's disgusting. Very different thing.
Someone says, I came back early from class one day and my roommate was wearing my clothes and my glasses.
Uh-oh.
When I asked her what she was doing, she replied that she wanted to feel what it was like to be me.
Uh-oh.
As an added bonus, the clothes were dirty and about four sizes too small for her.
Wait, they were both female?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. I thought it was a male dressing up as a female.
That happens.
Found my roommate cleaning under her bed. She found a bowl of ramen that she'd lost about 4 days before and proceeded to eat it.
Ugh.
I can understand the finding. Like, I often will find weird things under my bed, like lip ice from like 5 years ago. I don't clean under my bed very often.
I once, I was cleaning out my bed and I actually took off the mattress to put a new mattress on and I found like an old pair of underpants like, right at the bottom at the far end of the bed. It was mine, don't worry, but still.
Probably like the least cleaned place under the bed and like between the mattress.
If you think about it, like nobody really gets into those nooks and crannies. You don't think about it.
My cleaner flips my mattress every time. She moves the whole bed, takes the mattress, puts it against the wall.
She's very thorough.
Yeah, extremely thorough.
How often are you supposed to flip your mattress?
I think once a month.
Once a month?
Really?
No, maybe.
Shit,
it's one of those twice a year or
today.
Something. Yeah.
I'm like 4 years in, not a single flip.
But
some of them you don't flip because the one side is you can see clearly is like a hard surface. But even to turn it, you know, rather than flip it. So to rotate it is also a good idea.
My favorite thing to find under my bed are socks that have rolled under there and I like need a new pair of socks. It's got a bit of dust and you'll just dust it off, but then you have a nice fresh pair of socks.
Have you seen videos of cats that knock things off of shelves?
Yeah, yeah.
my cat does that next to my bed. So I've got essentials that I wake up in the morning, I can't find my glasses, can't find my asthma pump, my lip ice, you know, things that I really need.
Your cats have been malicious.
My tear gas spray, they're all under the bed from her.
Yeah, my cat's also been attacking me lately. He literally on Saturday went onto the bed, took a piss and left. Just like that.
Jeez, has he done that before?
No, first time ever.
And you don't have another pet in the house, a new pet?
No. We actually took the cat to the vet like 2 weeks ago.
Yeah.
And the most astonishing thing, my cat is 18 years old.
Okay, well, that's why.
That sounds old for a cat, no?
It is old for a cat.
I was very impressed.
Your cat's 18?
The one's 18. So Timon's 18 and Tinkerbell's 19 years old.
So this is so bizarre because I have to take a family cat today to be put down and she's 18.
That's not nice.
It's horrible. Ugh. But that's exactly why he's weaning. It's because he's now getting old. I mean, cats can live even beyond that. But does he go inside and outside?
Yeah, it goes inside, outside. But he did go to the vet. He's got liver failure kicking in. So we've started medication and stuff. Very expensive to have animals. Wow.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Yeah, let me tell you, if you don't have pet insurance, you're in big trouble. Like these days, that stuff is expensive as humans.
Well, the thing is with, you know, pet insurance, you need to get it when the animal's a baby. Or between 1 and 6, usually.
Really? Is it because it's cheaper as they get older?
Yeah, because they get older. As they get older, it becomes more expensive.
Jesus. So do they fix your rate for pet insurance?
It depends on what package you take.
Oh, yeah. Because I was thinking...
Leanne is the expert about this stuff. She really is. She knows all of this.
But I only really learnt about pet insurance when all my animals were over 6 years old. So I haven't been able to take part in that.
If you have to take like a pet last minute into to the vet, an easy $6,000 bill the next day.
Oh, yeah.
Like for the medication, for the overnight fees, the drip. Oh, yeah.
My dog ate rubbish and it cost me $6,000. He actually, it affected his brain. It was such toxic food that he ate.
He ate rubbish?
He got out of the property and went along all the fast food restaurants in Cork Bay. So they were like fish heads and really toxic.
Oh.
It was like he'd had a stroke. He had this massive toxicity rush that affected his brain. And he was seeing weird stuff and falling over. But yeah, that cost $6,000. Thank you.
I was chatting to someone the other day because I wanted to buy a pet and they were explaining to me how it's actually cheaper in the long run and I'm all for getting the pets from the SPCA. So it's like mixed breeds.
Yeah.
They said that their system is more like...
Resilient.
Yeah. So they won't get sick that often, which is another benefit of getting from SPCA.
Pet, your dog got sick from eating rubbish.
He ate a big bag of rubbish. Fish heads next to the harbor.
Oh.
That's so much dust and juice. And it took me a while to figure that out. But he was just sitting in his box. He stood up. It was feeding time. Oh. And he just fell over like those fainting goats.
Yeah, yeah. Is this your little Doberman?
Yes.
Oh, my God.
Miniature pincher.
Oh, my God.
It was like he was tripping. Yeah, so everyone thought it was a stroke. They did brain scans. Then they scanned his stomach and they found... literal fish heads and things in there.
Now, have you ever done this where you've texted your number neighbor, as in the person whose number is maybe one digit different from yours?
It started as like a trend in 2008.
Right.
That's when your text door neighbor, that's when the coin was phrased.
Yes.
The term was coined. Was coined. Thank you.
Coin was phrased, term was coined, whatever you prefer.
Coining of the phrase.
Yes, that's the one.
And in 2016, it became quite popular again, and now it's come back again.
Yes.
So it's a Twitter trend where people are challenging others to tweet, to text their text door neighbor.
Yeah.
And the results are usually bad. I mean, can you imagine just texting a random number? People get upset about that.
Sure. I wouldn't like to receive a text from someone just because their number is one digit different from mine. You know, I'm not your friend for a reason. Why am I going to be your friend just because our numbers are one? Have you ever done this?
No.
That would imply that that was the next person in line to get a phone number after you, right? Or well, they were completely randomized.
It's randomized because they don't give out the numbers in sequence. I mean, like...
And also when somebody gives up a number, it becomes available.
So we'll never actually run out of numbers. Or
no.
They'll never have to put more digits.
They recycle them. Okay. Yeah. If you phone an old number you've had, someone else has got it now.
I've kept the same number for life.
Have you?
My first number is my original number. And I think I got my first Nokia 3310 in grade 12.
You're very loyal. 10. You're loyal to your number.
Yeah.
Good for you.
So the people are posting their replies on Twitter that they receive from texting people. Hello, phone number neighbor. Who's this? I'm Ryan, and I have the phone number next to yours. Ryan who? That doesn't matter. I don't think you know me. I just wanted to let you know we have similar phone numbers. I wonder if they were assigned numerically. And then he goes on and on. And this person goes, I don't know you. I don't know who the fuck you are, but please get your annoying ass out of my messages. Delete my number or I'll call the police. Mostly bad responses. Jesus. From people.
How can you call the police on someone texting you?
Well, this is the person's response was, let's do it, baby. I know the law.
Wow. But I mean, why would you be... You've got to be pretty lonely to be texting someone whose number is just one digit off of yours. You really are looking for a friend.
Yeah.
That's sad.
Pretty intense.
Very sad.
And then there are good stories that come out of it. Like these people have actually got together and the one guy is going to be the best man at his wedding.
Oh, God. Really?
Yeah.
I don't... Come on. I mean, are we so lonely? Really? Everybody stop this. It's getting embarrassing.
I just wouldn't do it, eh?
No. Mm-mm. Definitely not. You don't need to be texting your next door number neighbor.
Your text door neighbor.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I sometimes don't even answer phone calls if I don't have the number saved. They can leave a message and I can decide to get back to them.
Right.
Exactly.
And these days you don't have to be invasive and phone people or text them out of the blue. If they don't have your number on their phone, then maybe they don't want your number.
It would be as creepy as putting your head over the wall and going, hello, to your neighbor.
Exactly. If someone did that, I'd run a mile.
I'm your neighbor.
All right, Nkosinathi Moshoana is here. He is the general manager at Prime Stars. Nkosinathi, how are you?
Morning. How are you guys? How are you guys doing?
Nice to see you, man. Good. If you've been around with us for a while, you will know that we're proud supporters of what Prime Stars do with their incredible work in educating young people. For the 9th year in a row, they have launched their exciting youth development initiative, which revolutionizes education. It is called the Prime Stars Educate Program. Mm-hmm. And Educate's a nationwide matric maths and science revision program. It's made up of 10 pre-recorded 2.5 or 2 hour revision sessions. 5 of them are in maths and 5 of them are in science. These sessions cover the entire matric curriculum and are aimed at preparing disadvantaged South African kids for their matric maths and science exams. So, Nkosinathi is here to tell us a little bit about it. Where did the whole thing start and how's it going?
Thank you for the platform. Sure. Morning, everyone.
Sure.
For those that don't know, I've been with the company for about 4 years, but the organization's been running for 12.
Right.
You were actually the first ambassador to ever put, you know, your name, your brand behind everything, which has opened, you know, doors to a lot of other, you know, media personalities coming in and showing their support to really attract support to the program. But really, because we run educational programs in Stokinuko Cinemas, and we use Stokinuko Cinemas as our classrooms. The idea has been around bringing educational content in a different and a more engaging manner. We know that high school learners who are target market, you know, really have this affinity to media entertainment.
Sure.
We're talking about text, so social media is like a big part of that. So we use multimedia in the form of cinema to teach young people in different topics, including maths and science, entrepreneurship, financial literacy, career guidance.
But so do you actually produce these films?
100%.
Okay.
100%. So it's all locally created, local producers and that. So with maths and science, it was really about a collaboration between us and the Department of Basic Education, as well as some private sector sponsors that have evolved over the years. And we wanted to create a program that is an initiative that intervenes in high school, but brings real results and strong improvement. So
is it working? I mean, this is what people always want to know about.
That's always the question, right?
Right, because otherwise you guys are doing a lot of hard work and it's not having the effect.
It's fruitless.
So no one wants that.
So one, it's been running for 9 years, which is absolutely incredible.
Amazing.
The fact that it keeps continuing. We have about 30,000 seats available on an annual basis.
Right.
The majority of our schools nationwide are no-fee paying schools, schools in, let's call them under-resourced communities.
Sure.
And we've got sort of two tiers. One is the lower level schools that are below the pass mark and schools that are just below distinction level. And what happens is the districts then choose the schools and they mix up the schools. And we then bring them into the program. Now, for the last 5 years, our minimum increase of matric final maths and science have increased at 8%, which is incredible for a 10-week intervention, trying to band-aid a 12-year challenge. And our higher performing schools, I mean, our best school last year increased at about 16%, which we couldn't believe.
That's phenomenal.
They had about 120 matriculants and a 76% distinction uptake in that program. So for us, in terms of bringing in new partners, like this year, we were launching for the 9th year, you know, and we have to consistently find partners that are aligned to what we're doing. And our key partners this year are Sanlam, Sasria, and Bidvest, alongside, you know, the people like Kulula, Omnia. Tata actually just announced at the launch, you know, that
well, let's just give credit to these guys, because, you know, corporate money is really hard to come by these days.
Difficult.
Nobody is throwing money around because everyone is trying to tie up as tightly as they can what they already have. They're spending less than ever. And sponsorship is damned hard. People think that these companies have just got huge bank accounts full of sponsorship money. They don't. So when you go around to these guys, it takes a lot of convincing.
Yeah.
And of course, if they do come in and they do get involved in something like the amazing project that is Educate, it's them putting their money where your mouth is.
That's right.
It's an incredible endorsement of something which they obviously feel very strongly about. And you've got to convince these people. Some of them already have kids that they're paying for already, these sponsors. And now you're asking them to help other people's kids? I mean, that's a big ask.
Very true. So, yes, definitely it is a huge thing. And we're absolutely, you know, humbled by the support. And if we were to give them all recognition, I'd put them like this. So, we always have financial sponsors, in-kind sponsors, right?
Right.
So guys like Gearhouse make our events happen all year round. They've got guys there, 6 in the morning, 12 at night, setting up for us. Kulula flies all of our beneficiaries around, and most of the learners fly for the first time ever.
That's so cool.
Yes, absolutely incredible. Absolutely, you should see it. We try and record as much as possible.
They must be so excited
right?
when they get on that plane.
Super, super exciting. Changes your mind, changes your, you know, how you're exposed to different elements.
Sure.
We've got Toho-san who hosts all of our events, even back, I mean, 5 years ago, 6, 7, 8, 9 years ago when Gareth was, you know, the main and the leading ambassador, you know, before he handed the baton on to some of the other colleagues. I mean, Toho was still hosting us until now. Tata's just been announced as a new partner. Omnia's come in. And Omnia, I mean, if you look at the markets, you know, financially, they you know, having to deal with quite a lot, but to still commit finances to a cause like this is absolutely incredible from that perspective. Sanlam and Sasria and Bidvest are the key partners. You know, they're the partners that really have given us strong support over the years. Sanlam is one of our newest partners, which we are quite excited about. And we also have gotten some support now from the Thabo Mbeki Foundation, you know, and I think these are just people that all understand that with where the world is going, or the kind of, let's call them digital skills, you know, there's this big term, fourth industrial revolution, that we're trying to unpack at the launch. How do we get young people to actually begin thinking? And for us, these kind of maths and science subjects get you to be a thinker. You know, I always say to people that where we are now in our country, the lack is education. So we find ourselves in a position where someone would rather attack you than engage you.
Yeah.
And the difference in that is education.
Absolutely.
So if I don't have anything, you know, to engage you on logically, the next thing I'm going to go for is to come physically. And with education, I really believe that that's going to be the difference between, you know, where we are and where we need to go.
Also, countries that have great maths and science figures and have produced graduates in maths and science are countries that are going to win.
Big time.
And we don't have enough of those. We have people who are studying, and God bless them. I mean, there's a place for the humanities, but we need maths and science. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, we're not going to have engineers, and we're not going to have people who are innovating, and we're not going to have the kind of people who can push technology forward. Mm-hmm. That's essential.
They don't call them critical skills for anything, for nothing.
Exactly, right?
They really are critical skills, and we have a huge shortage.
So in question, how much does it cost to do this? I mean, what are you guys...
So per annum, we have to raise 5 million rand.
Wow.
And that all goes to the beneficiary. So that's per program, right? We've got four programs, but specifically for maths and science, it's 5 million. And what the sponsors are covering is transportation for the learners because they are in remote communities. We've got to bring them into the city centers, come see the cinema. We create booklets for the learners that become resources for the schools and the teachers, which have past papers for the last 4 years. We've got exercises we run with each week, and really is a resourced booklet. And also, the sponsors that participate, we encourage them to sort of advertise bursaries, learnerships, apprenticeships, any other opportunities that our matriculant base can apply to. And we cover, I mean, obviously the content, distribution of the booklet, cinema, you know, logistics. It's a big job, but it's one that's extremely rewarding.
This might be a really silly question, but how do you overcome the fact that cinemas are dark and you need to write?
What a silly question. What's wrong with you?
Silly, but good.
What a stupid question. Just ignore that question.
So the cinemas are actually proper lit. It's not dark like when you're going to watch a commercial film. Because they've got to be able to write their notes and read the booklet. Yeah. So it's as lit as the studio is right now.
How embarrassing.
Why lit?
Why come all this way to have to answer this dumb question.
Like, where did that idea come from? It's really cool. Like, take them outside of the classroom. Yeah, I like that.
Yeah. So when the organization was started, we were part of the Prime Media Group. Stokinico was a part of the group, and we, you know, realized that if we work together as a family.
Not as stupid as Leanne.
It is a good question. So we tried that out in the beginning, but over time we realized that if we are going to take them to the third place, my colleague Martin likes talking about a third place, Howard Schultz, who created Starbucks, wanted to create Starbucks as a third place. So not home and not work, right? So Starbucks is that place. So for us, you're not at home and you're not at school. You're at cinema, which is your third place. And it's worked quite well.
I think that probably you guys are leading the way here. I mean, we know at schools that there are teachers who with the best intention in the world. They just don't have the resources. Mm. They don't have the time. That schools are under such stress at the moment in terms of budgets and the availability of teachers, and it's not easy. So you're concentrating on the rural schools, which is interesting because it would have been just as easy for you to say, well, sorry, we can't help you guys. We'll just do the guys who are in town.
Right. So we've got a big footprint in townships. We're also expanding into, we've got rural schools that are participating as well. And over the next few years, so what's happened as well is that we've registered a new foundation, which is quite exciting for us. And the foundation is really going to run majority of its projects in the furthest, you know, rural communities in the country. We found some really cool partners, really cool mechanisms to take cinema to the people. And we want to ensure that we increase the reach and the impact of the program over the next coming years. So that's a big thing from that perspective. The teachers are also an incredible part of the program because we can't actually participate in a school without teachers
they need to buy in, right?
They've got to buy in, they've got to be there, they've got to bring the learners. So if a school doesn't have a teacher, we unfortunately can't bring the learners because then they don't have a, you know, like a chaperone or someone to take care of them.
So it's definitely not just a nice day off for the teacher.
The teacher's involved, they participate in the content, and we always try and make a point to like thank the teachers because it happens on a Saturday and Sunday morning. So they're at school Monday to Friday, and then Saturday and Sunday.
Saturdays as well.
They come into the cinema. It's a huge thing. Easy.
How many pupils are enrolled annually?
So we've got a capacity of about 30,000 seats, and how that works is we've got 3,000 running for 5 weeks. So there's 5 sessions of math, and we've got another 3,000 running for 5 sessions of science. So it's about 6,000 individual learners, but there's 10
on a Saturday and then 6,000 on a Sunday.
No, so it all runs on Sunday morning.
Oh, okay.
So the Saturdays is for our other programs. So typically we're running 2 programs back to back.
Wow.
But I think this program sponsors also love because of that continuous engagement. So there's some programs where you meet the learner once and, you know, never see them again. And with this one, we can interact with the learner up to 6, 7, 8 times.
I like the bursary aspect because it's not just preparing them for now, but what happens after.
What happens after, exactly.
It's cradle to career, right?
That's right. There so the go. Other thing is, so imagine you you get into this program, you do well, you get your, you know, results, and then you can't afford to go to school.
Mm.
You know, so it's almost like we raised your hopes for nothing.
Yeah.
So it's important that we still give them the support afterwards, but they've got to take their responsibility as learners to, you know, not only, you know, take the opportunity, but really run with it.
And Kosinati, we hear a lot about how, you know, everybody's hungry for an education in this country. Kids know that it's the best way to get ahead. Nelson Mandela famously said that education is your best weapon, right, if you want to fight poverty and you want to improve your life. Are you seeing that enthusiasm with the kids?
More recently, yes. More than I've ever before. I think, you know, the trying times in the country at the moment are getting people to really ask themselves,
what do I need to do to get me
into the right place? Because what we always tell them is, and I mean, I've experienced it myself, there are millions of young people that are unemployed.
Yeah.
But the kind of skills base is so limited. It's scary, actually. You know, you've got millions of people, but then you may go into an interview process and realize that none of them are actually ready to fulfill the role. And when you convey that to a young person who's just about to leave school and you really open their minds up to what I need to be doing to prepare myself, they take that on. I mean, the fact that they wake up themselves on a Sunday morning, get in their uniform, by 6:45 they're at school waiting for a bus, all through winter, right into the spring, you can see that the commitment is there. And we have an oversubscription of attendance. So we typically report on, we only have 30,000 seats available, but we typically hit about 32,000 a year. Because they just, they want to be there.
Sure.
You know?
And is it based off a school, or can anyone go and apply sort of online?
Based on schools, for the time being, because we typically get our school list from the Department of Basic Education, and then our sponsors obviously have their schools that they work with. In the long term, we should get ourselves to that point, but because we're hitting such critical mass, it makes it difficult to deal with one-on-ones.
Mm.
So, and also the structure of managing the learners is better from school. So the principal accepts HOD, then allocates a teacher. We pre-register all the learners, so that's name, surname, gender, you know, age, and all the rest of it. And with that, we then allocate learners to different cinemas nationwide. So when a Sunday is running, like yesterday, we've got 14 cinemas nationwide running at the same time. 2,000 kids picked up from schools across the country, taken into a cinema, register, get a book, watch the content, engage our tutors, head back to school.
Educate, an extremely successful program that has proven to be highly impactful in assisting matric learners to pass matric, maths and science. Are you getting pressure from people to expand that to other subjects as well?
Yeah, but we're getting asked about English, getting asked about history, getting asked about accounting. In fact, there's an organization that's really been pushing us to create accounting.
Oh yeah.
But for us, it's really about resources. We can do anything
if you have enough money.
We've got enough money.
Sure.
So we've got to create the content and. But yes.
Gosinati, you often mention the Department of Basic Education in this because they are a partner of yours, and it wouldn't be happening without them, right? Mm. Are they helpful too? Because I know that they get a tough rap, and people are less than complimentary about what the Department of Basic Education is able to achieve.
The department's dealing with a lot. I think it's a huge problem. It's 27,000 schools across the country.
Sure.
It's a lot to manage. But for us, we needed the support, firstly, to get the access into the schools. So we've got access into any high school across the country, which was huge.
That's
for
amazing.
Us. But what was nice is at the launch, we also were visited by the Deputy Minister in Higher Education, Minister Buti Manamela. And he is really talking about the transition you referenced earlier about the bursaries and moving into tertiary. But I think they're also realizing at tertiary level that a foundation is not strong. They've got an even tougher job at that level.
So they
give us that support and access to the schools, which is very important. And I mean, it's good for us and it's good for them to show that they're really running some strong programs.
Well, all I can say to you is congratulations on everything that you guys have done so far.
Thank you.
It's terrific to know that there are people who care about education, who are interested in helping maths and science along, because we need all the help we can get there. And if anyone wants to get involved or they want to find out more about the organization, where can they go?
They can go onto our website, primestars.co.za, or they can email projects with the S at the end at primestars.co.za. One thing I forgot to mention before I go. Mm-hmm. The Western Cape government has actually spearheaded an incredible initiative. So 2 years ago, we approached them to support us in the program. And they said to us they're going to do a pilot and have two districts participate and another two not participate. They chose the schools, sent their learners to the cinema, and they became the most improved district in the Western Cape, the program that the district that participated with us. And now, 3 years later...
So they actually tested it for
they
you.
They tested it.
I mean, that's amazing.
Right? Which is incredible. And they have the right numbers. So it's not us, you know, talking a whole bunch of...
It's not you guys just doing PR.
Exactly. Yeah. So Now, 3 years later, they manage all the buses, choose all the schools. They send their reps to the cinemas. We have subject advisors every week. They own the entire program in the Western Cape, which has been absolutely incredible. First of its kind. You know, they run everything. They send food. Even though we give the learners Coke and popcorn, obviously for the cinema experience.
Sure, of course.
Food, you know.
Yeah, you're dealing with a different government there.
Yes. They've done some incredible work in the Western Cape, and we are pushing the rest of the country, especially the MECs, to take on that model. And it makes it much easier. Then the burden on the private sector, you know, sort of lessens. Mm. And what we can do is with the extra funding, we can create new programs.
Yeah. Fantastic. So, well, listen, strength to you, and I hope it continues to thrive and grow. And thank you for caring about young people, and particularly maths and science with young people. God knows we've got talent. There's lots of opportunity and possibility once we've developed the skills.
That's right.
And once we've given kids an entree into that world. Otherwise, they're really on their own, right?
100%.
All right. Kosinathi, pleasure to see you.
Thank you. Good to see you.
You can go along to Prime Stars and find out more. They're doing great work there. Nkosinathi Moshwana, who is the general manager there too. If you want to find out more, you can also go to cliffcentral.com. We've got all kinds of podcasts for everybody all the way through. Flax, thanks for the visit this morning.
Thank you very much for having me.
Always nice to see you. And we will see you tomorrow, bright and early at 6 o'clock. Remember, it's a short week, huh? Yes.
Oh, I forgot.
Yes, it's Women's Day on Friday.
Lovely.
What does that mean? Why are you shaking, wagging your finger at me? You think it's a bad thing that's a
no,
short
I'm
week?
Saying you're absolutely 100%. It's a short week. I'm excited.
Yeah.
I thought you were like, I'm no, excited. You need to go to work, you lazy son. Okay. No, I just got a really dirty look from Kosinathi. He thinks I'm skiving. Okay. All right.
I just remembered everyone's having a long weekend and we're just on Friday.
Exactly. No, it's Friday's off for everybody.
This is CliffCentral.com.